Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz were not just a TV power couple, they were maybe the TV power couple. In a new film written and directed by Aaron Sorkin, we spend a week with them.
And it's an eventful week. Nicole Kidman plays Lucy, she's accused of being a communist, and Javier Bardem is Desi, and he's butting heads with the bosses of I Love Lucy over his wife's real-life pregnancy. I'm Aisha Harris.
And I'm Linda Holmes, and today we're talking about Being the Ricardos on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. It's just the two of us today, so let's get to it. So for this movie, Aaron Sorkin has taken some real events and condensed them so that they're all happening in the same week, which they fortunately did not in real life. That would be entirely too much. Lucy's pregnant. She's called out as a communist, and rumors of Desi's cheating have hit the papers. As they spend this awful week trying to get a show on the air, we see their complicated relationship. Some of that is in flashbacks, as well as their creative process. In addition to Nicole Kidman and Javier Bardem, the cast includes J.K. Simmons and Nina Arianda as Bill Frawley and Vivian Vance, the actors who played Fred and Ethel on I Love Lucy. There's also Alia Shawkat as Madeline Pugh, one of the show's writers, and Tony Hale as Jess Oppenheimer, the show's producer and head writer. The movie is now in theaters and streaming on Amazon Prime. Aisha, you are a I Love Lucy person, is that right?
Yes, I guess that's an identity. So yeah, I would say I'm an I Love Lucy person. I own every season of the show on DVD.
Yeah, that qualifies you as an I Love Lucy
person. Yeah, it does. I've watched it many times. I could probably reenact certain episodes from memory if you needed me to. Ask me later, Linda. I'm happy to perform.
I was going to say, this is a good thing to know for the future.
So yeah, going into this, I was very skeptical. There are obviously concerns about Nicole Kidman not looking anything like Lucille Ball. And I have to say that in the end, that doesn't really matter to me. This is not a movie, as people have probably guessed from the setup, this is not a movie that is about I Love Lucy. Being the Ricardos is actually, to me, kind of a misdirect and maybe misleading. And people might be like, what? This isn't the movie I was expecting, because it's not about them being the Ricardos. It's really about Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. But I guess their names are not big enough to sell a movie in that way.
Yeah.
I did not hate this movie as much as I thought I would. That being said, it gets sorkiny in terms of the way it tries to sort of layer in these contemporary conversations we are currently having about feminism and women and how women are perceived in movies and TV shows that I'm not going to say I wasn't there. So I'm not going to say that these conversations didn't happen, but they happen in sorkiny ways that take me out of the storytelling.
Yeah.
To me, like, the problem wasn't layering all of these events that didn't actually happen in one week. I actually think that's like a fun, different way to do this. And had it been more like a sort of zany, pulsing workplace drama where you have this countdown to rehearsals, had it felt more on edge, intense, I think this would have been a much better film. But they also layer in, he also layers in this weird framing device where we have flash forwards and flashbacks in addition to this main set piece where they're interviewing the three writers of the show, the older versions of the three writers of the show, for a retrospective years later. And within those retrospectives, they have flashbacks to before I Love Lucy. So there's so much going on here. And it feels more like a conventional biopic than I think Aaron Sorkin thinks it is, because we're getting all of these other details about them before I Love Lucy.
Yeah, that framing device is so unnecessary to me. It just feels to me like it is a cheat to avoid kind of creating a structure for the movie, which is funny because I agree with you. The structure for the movie is right there. Just do that week. Just do that incredibly tense, difficult week. But he can't help himself. And you wind up every time they went into one of these flashbacks of like how Lucy and Desi met, how Lucy and Desi originally put the show together. I was so bored.
Yeah.
I was so bored. And I don't think he has any interesting ideas, particularly about those things or about that relationship. I think it's a chance to watch, particularly, I think Nicole Kidman's very good in this. I did find her charisma sort of effective. It's funny, there's a part at the beginning where they're all sitting around the table at the table read. And you have this very Aaron Sorkin workplace comedy banter going on. And I felt myself kind of relax into it because when you have Alia Shawkat and J.K. Simmons doing that kind of stuff in particular, I love that. There's a part where Frawley and Vivian Vance are going back and forth about this young actor. And it is, you know, how what's his name on the show and what's his name in real life. And it is the most Sorkin-y thing if you have listened to a lot of this guy's dialogue. And I love his dialogue. And so I felt myself kind of relaxing into that. But there's not a whole lot of that. And you also get these snippets of story. Like, he tries to do this little thing about Lucille Ball being jealous of Vivian Vance and trying to make her look dumpy.
Yeah.
But there's no follow through. It doesn't seem like there's a reason for that to be there, except he heard that somewhere and threw it in. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Everything is so neatly tied up by the end in the way that an I Love Lucy sitcom would be. And I mean, look, she wanted to cast Ethel Mertz as a slightly older person. And then they got Vivian Vance, who was only in real life a couple years older than Lucille Ball.
Right.
And there were very much unsubstantiated rumors that Vivian Vance's contract forced her to be heavier and gain more weight than Lucille Ball. Not true. But I think throwing that in here, I didn't mind that, but I wish that it had been a little bit more. I mean, this is what I'm talking about when it comes to like this, having this dialogue around feminism and women. It's like it all feels very surface level and superficial.
Yeah.
And I think those scenes between Lucy and Vivian really crackled, but I wanted a bit more of that and a bit more tension and a little less like neat tying up at the end of the way that is resolved.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't have a problem with that coming up. I'm not sure Aaron Sorkin is the writer that I would trust to handle that sensitively. It needed more of a reason to be there, which I think partly would mean, as you're saying, not tying it up so neatly. There is a moment where Madeline Pugh and Vivian Vance and Lucille Ball are all sitting together on this bench.
Oh, God, this is the worst.
And you get Bill Frawley, who I don't think the historical record supports this vision of him. You sort of get him coming over and like literally being like, ladies, let me tell you. And they all just sort of sit there listening to him while they're all sitting and he's standing and it looks like a teacher and he's sort of like, let me tell you how it is for men as they age. And I'm like, what? What? And it is the most, like, this is the Aaron Sorkin Achilles heel, I think, is that it's very hard for him not to throw in at least one moment where some man explains the world to women, even in a movie about Lucille Ball.
I know. It's like he was able to restrain himself from doing that with Desi Arnaz because, and I think, you know, Javier Bardem, you can question his casting considering he is Spanish and Desi Arnaz is Cuban and being Cuban was like very much a part of his identity.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously there are issues with that, but I think Desi Arnaz comes off in the way that he supposedly was, which is that, like, for the most part, he was very supportive of Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated seeing those moments. And then this Bill Frawley thing, I was just like, what are we doing here? Why? why are we having this conversation? And it blew my mind that he would include that in there. I also wonder what you think, because there's a similar conversation that happens between the Madeline character and the Lucy character early on that also felt sort of anachronistic and didn't feel quite of the moment. But I could see what he was trying to do because Madeline Pugh was the only woman in the writer's room. And the way in which he, Sorkin, is trying to sort of give these women agency, like, I admire it, but I also, again, is Sorkin the right person to do that?
They have this conversation that is very much about what Madeline Pugh as a woman writer is trying to do in the writer's room. They have kind of a back and forth between her and this guy who's a writer played by Jake Lacy, the new jerk who used to be the nice person in everything, is now a jerk in everything. And I understand, again, like you're saying, I understand what he's going for. I don't necessarily think it's effective. One of the other things I thought was interesting that struck me about this film is you get several scenes sort of before they become famous in these flashbacks. You get several scenes of Desi performing, singing and drumming and, you know, being a very wonderful and successful musical performer. You don't get as many scenes that show you, I think, what made her special as a performer. And I wondered why we were getting so much, you know, Desi was this great and magnetic musician. And you don't really see like how they talk a lot about, you know, her film acting and how she came to the attention of people. But you don't really see it. So I kind of felt like, other than a couple of quick, you know, sequences of her on I Love Lucy, I'm not sure they really kind of got into what her appeal was as a performer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the conundrum, right? Is that those moments that we do see, like at one point we see the grape stomping scene from when they're in Italy.
Yes.
And they're framed within the movie as you're inside Lucy's head and she's imagining these scenes that haven't even happened yet. So he's also trying to like say, oh, she was this creative genius who's like seeing these things and this is her vision. And I mean, I think it was deliberate to do that because they are too, for lack of a better word, iconic.
Like, right.
There's just going to be too much of a comparison between what we've all seen, even if we have not seen it in years. Like, again, Nicole Kidman does not look anything like Lucy. And I think that showing less of it actually kind of worked. I actually could have used less of that.
Yeah.
And maybe even less of the Desi Arnaz singing part. Because again, I think this movie is for people who have literally no reference point for I Love Lucy at all. I think those are the people who will enjoy it the most. And that's fine.
And it's interesting that you say that you didn't care as much for sort of the reenactments of real episodes of I Love Lucy, because I agree with you. And that's complicated because I do like the parts of it that are a process. And I think there is an opportunity. You know, there's a moment when Lucy gets Frawley and Vance kind of to come out in the middle of the night and choreograph this scene. That I was into. Like, I like the idea of learning more about what that process is and how exacting she was about comedy. And that's why I wanted to stay in that week more, was like, what is the day-to-day of these people as opposed to these kind of wandering, let's go back and see what they're, you know, how she dumped her fiance the minute that they slept together. Like, I get it. But everybody knows that they had this long love story. You don't have to get me there with that much handholding.
Right.
Let's talk about this week. Let's talk about the work that they did. But again, this is not as aggravating to me as some other recent Sorkin projects. I'll say that.
It's not the Trial of Chicago 7, I don't think.
It is not as Sorkin-y as some Sorkin projects in negative ways. It does, I think, center her in a good way. I don't think it infantilizes her in the ways that I was afraid it might. But boy, you do get that Bill Frawley scene.
You get that Bill Frawley scene, and you also get a scene that references J. Edgar Hoover in like the most just wrong and ahistorical way. Like,
it's very weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. And I do want to give a little shout to Tony Hale, who plays the producer here and who I was interested in. This is a little bit, you know, you so often see him as like these bumbling, broadly comedic, silly people. He gets a little more dramatic heft here, I think, as this producer who does feel very pressured in terms of the working with these people who are incredibly powerful. You know, he's a little bit stuck between the bosses and the superstars who are really running things. I like him in this. And again, I think had we stayed in this week and had we stayed in this moment, you would have gotten a little more of some stuff about that relationship that I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I think a different and perhaps more nuanced director would have been able to communicate better the love and friction that Desi and Lucy had at the time without having to flashback and do that.
And I do want to say about the direction, I thought this was uninspired directing. I think every shot is the exact most obvious shot. I think that, you know, the old insult used to be it looks like television, and that is an unfair insult, right?
Yeah.
But it looks like old television. It looks like quickly made, you know, 90s television, which I guess makes sense, but it is uninspired directing.
I feel like if he wanted to do those flashbacks, it should have just been a miniseries.
Yeah.
It looks like a miniseries from the early 2000s.
That's every shot. I was like, yep. Like the, you know, cut two people in bed and someone is lying on their side. And, you know, this is how you find out they've just had sex. And it's like, okay. Like, I think he is still, so far, not a director, in my opinion. Great dialogue writer, not a director. All right. We want to know what you think about Being the Ricardos. It is available on Amazon Prime. You can find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Thank you, Aisha, for being here to talk about Lucille Ball.
I'm always here to talk about Lucille Ball. Thank you, Linda.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second, subscribe to our newsletter. It's over at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. And we will see you tomorrow when we will be talking about, oh boy, The Matrix Resurrections.